Welcome to our Gilmore Girls special for season 7. Oh my god, someone should have played the hallelujah music. I should have planned this ahead. This is the hype special from Hype Podcast. I'm Marama and I'm here with Pam and Selena. Guys, we made it.
Yay, we made it. I mean, in the nick of time. Are you kidding? You have any idea how quickly I've watched this season?
You know what? If it makes you feel better, I did the same thing, even though I'd already seen it.
I'm so glad. Because I feel like the pressure of watching an entire full season of television in a week when you also have a million other things that you're supposed to be doing, like, you don't fully understand how difficult that is unless you have to do it. So that makes me feel better. But I made it.
Selena,
we made it, guys.
You definitely took one for the team, and we appreciate it. We wanted to be able to hear your thoughts because, like, it's been a journey.
It has.
And as the person who I think, like, spontaneously was just like, you know, it would be funny if we just, like, rewatched all of Gilmore Girls and turned Hype into a Gilmore Girls show before Netflix revival. Mm-hmm. And then we actually decided to do it. I apologize because I feel like this is mostly my fault. But, you know, it happened and we're here and we've watched it and we're going to talk about it. So thank you to everyone who has stayed on this journey with us. And we're going to talk about season 7. So now, you know, we're all in the same place for the first time, which is crazy.
It's dangerous territory.
Yeah, Selena's being spoiler-free until now.
I know everything.
Well, actually, I was going to ask you, so since you finished season 7, have you watched the trailer for the revival?
I have not, so I actually don't know everything. I'm so behind. Because, like, because it's so close, I kind of don't want to. It's kind of like going when you know you're gonna go see a movie, you're not gonna look up the trailer on YouTube because you don't want to be spoiled. You know, you don't want to see the scenes that you're gonna be seeing. You know what I mean? So I kind of feel like that's the same thing. Like I want to remain as unspoiled as possible.
Okay, so you're not gonna watch it at all?
No, and I even try to avoid the pictures because I don't want to know what they look like now.
Okay,
like, I want all that to come.
In that case, listeners. If you want to hear about the trailer, you can head over to hypebull.com where Pam and I recorded a special for all of the spoiled superfans where we went in deep on the very first trailer, and there's actually a new one that just came out, but we won't be talking about it, and Pam, we'll have to be careful when we're doing our predictions. Not to...
I mean, it's not... It's okay. It's fine. You know.
No, I mean, there's a couple, like, plot things I feel like that are revealed in the trailer that we just won't get into,
but
which is fine.
I will say that,
we can still feel superior in our knowledge.
I will say that I did appreciate, because they put out the second trailer, like, the last trailer before, like, the show's come out. I was worried that they would give too much away, and I almost didn't watch it, and I ended up hitting play because I have no self-control. But I did like that they didn't give us, like, too much new stuff, you know? Like, it was mostly, like, recycled from what we saw in the first trailer.
Yeah.
So I appreciated that, because there's only 4 episodes if you really think about it, so you don't want to know too much going into it. Like, I'd rather just experience it. So that was nice.
Yeah. This is very true. Okay, so we're going to jump right into season 7. If you want to let us know any of your thoughts on this, or you want to get in touch with us about the revival when that airs or before, you can find us on Twitter. We are at Hypable Hype. We are at Hypable Hype on Instagram. And if you want to leave us a longer comment, you can send us an email. We are hype@hypable.com. Or you can always leave us a comment on this podcast post over on hypable.com. All right, let's jump right into season 7. Selena, what did you think?
Well, here's where I alienate all the Gilmore Girls fans. I apologize in advance. I liked it. I know that I'm not the only one, because I've had some discussions on Twitter with the people that have been keeping up with my rewatch on there, or my watch on there. And I think that I kind of said in our season 6 discussion, season 6 dug some holes that I'm sure Amy Sherman-Palladino had a great plan for how to dig herself out of, but at the end of the day, whoever was left picking up the show had some serious huge things that they had to sort of deal with that had already been set up. And I think they, for the most part, I think they did really well resolving some of those things, because I'm watching it so quickly, probably, and for the first time, I didn't pick up so much on the tonal differences or the, like, some people are saying that they're acting out of character, and I actually will say, and this might be the strength of the actors too, is that I didn't really feel like any of the characters were out of character, because everything they did was built on what had been set up previously. But I mean, I obviously noticed the dialogue, how that was different. It was less dynamic and less speedy and had just kind of lost that Amy Sherman-Palladino touch. But on the whole, I mean, I will actually say that I thought it was a pretty good season following what... I mean, I didn't like season six very much, and I thought this was pretty good. And I will also say, like, if we hadn't been getting these revivals, you know, I think I would have... I really liked the series finale. I thought it was a pretty good wrap-up, so I was actually satisfied.
Interesting. Oh, that's really interesting to hear. I actually don't mind season seven,
mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, again, like, you're not meant to say that because, you know,
yeah.
They're terrible.
It's
and
very faux pas, yeah.
It's the same, but I mean, it's, you know, it's not the same, but, like, I really like Buffy season seven also, and, like, you're not meant to like that one. That's unfashionable.
Yeah, I like season seven too. Like, yeah. I don't know. I'm not that critical of this.
Yeah, you know, I like the Aaron Sorkin seasons, like, the sorry, the West Wing seasons after Aaron Sorkin left, so mm-hmm. I do think there is, like, a slight tonal shift, and I think there are a couple things in here that do feel out of character to me, but on the whole, I don't hate it. And I think also, Pam, you can correct me on this, I'm pretty sure when they were filming this, they didn't know if they were going to get another season or not. And so they had to film a finale that would work as a series finale as well, in case it wasn't renewed, which of course it wasn't. But Amy Sherman-Palladino wanted it to be 8 seasons. So I wonder if, like, there are things in here that feel a little... I don't know, truncated or something.
I mean, there are definitely things that feel like they are, like, things that have been set up through the whole show that are not resolved.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. All right, well, we'll get to some of those. Let's start with Selena's fave, Emily Gilmore. No, just kidding.
Yeah, I liked her this season.
Yes! Vindication. No, let's start with Lorelai. I feel like she kind of has probably the most going on in this season. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with complaining about Christopher? Do you want to get that
Can
out of the
I?
Way? Yeah.
Thank you, Mara. What an early Christmas present that is.
You're welcome.
I mean, look, and this is what I mean when I say things like weren't necessarily out of character, in that I feel like this is the Christopher that I have kind of been waiting for, because he was, like, legit the worst of the worst this season, and I kind of felt like he had been leading up to this whole show. I mean, I knew that they were gonna get married. I didn't know how or when, but that had been spoiled for me, and I sort of understand. In a way, I kind of liked it, actually. Because I sort of feel like Lorelai, obviously, through the show, like, she kept circling back to Christopher, and it kept being this unfinished business. And even after everything that happened with him and Luke in season six, or five, or whenever that was, there was still something there that needed to be resolved. And I think moving forward, now that Lorelai has had that dream that she always had at the back of her head, of her mind, like in what, you know, we'll talk about a little bit later, but in the Christmas episode, when you had that scene of the four of them around the table, that was the life, like, that was the dollhouse life that somewhere inside of her Lorelai always wanted. And so in a way, I like that it happened. I like that she got over it and hopefully could finally put that part of her life to rest and finally grow up in that sense and stop reverting back to her 16-year-old self with Christopher. But there was so much about it that just frustrated the hell out of me. The way he treated Rory, you know, he was basically moving Gigi into her room, like, straight away, and he wanted to move Lorelai out of Stars Hollow, and he was way too excited, in my opinion, about sending Gigi off to her mother in Paris and going home alone, which is also very disturbing to me. So there was just a lot of stuff that left me very frustrated, but I also felt like it had been building to this point, so I thought it was a very good take on where that story was supposed to go.
What do you think, Pam?
I think that I think I've made no secret of the fact that I just, like, I hate these two together, because as cute as it is to, you know, to see, like, the idea of them together is adorable because, you know, like, they were so in love when they were teenagers and stuff like that. It's just, like, such a toxic relationship. Mm. And I think you see that more and more as they, like, both, like, I think Christopher, like, really truly wants to make it work because Lorelai is his dream girl. But Lorelai, I think, like, even right after she gets married, she knows that it's, like, the worst idea she's ever had. And I think you see that, too, with, like, the whole, like, she tells Rory, like, I just wanted to do it. I didn't want to get talked out of it. I just wanted to do it. And it's, like, you never want that. But I think that the thing that frustrated me most was that, like, Christopher was so upset that Rory wasn't automatically happy that they had done this. And it was just, like, how inconsiderate of you to, like, think, like, oh, my daughter's not going to be upset that her parents got married. Like, that really rubbed me the wrong way, on top of some of the other stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's the thing with Christopher, is that I feel like, and Lorelai to an extent, but obviously less so, is that I think that Christopher's idea of the perfect life with Lorelai just doesn't involve Rory. You know, it's, you know, he's the one that left for most of her childhood. You know, he's the one who tried to sort of erase. I mean, and I think actually the show handles it pretty well, because I think you do get to see that in this season especially, that the Lorelai Christopher wants is not the Lorelai she actually is, and the family he wants is not the family he has. And I think that really just, it was uncomfortable to watch, because it, again, it feels so real, and I think this character of Christopher feels very real to me, and I'm sure to a lot of other people. But specifically, it was hard to watch.
Yeah, that line too, where he says, like he wants to have more kids, and he says, like, the first one, look at the first one, she turned out fine, and Lorelai is quick to remind him that Rory is a product of her situation, and Lorelai did a lot to nurture her and to encourage her, and Christopher completely missed that. It's just by pure happenstance that he can't drop the ball with Gigi, because Gigi has no mother, you know, like, her mother just, like, leaves. So he's like forced into responsibility, but it just kind of make you wonder if he would have been so hands-on if she hadn't done
that. Well, you almost see that he wouldn't be, because the minute that Sherry apparently returns, he's like, let's go, you know, let's just send her off. And Lorelai is the one who has to be like, I think you should go with her. Like, what's happening? You know what I mean? Like, that was very strange.
Yeah, I agree with all of that based on this season. I think the thing for me that does not feel in character is the way that Christopher treats Rory in season 7. Like, I think his relationship with Lorelai, 100%, like, I agree with all of that. But I really think that, like, one of the interesting parts of his character to this point has been seeing him develop a relationship with Rory, and the way that that has, like, changed, and the way that that prior to this season kind of existed separate from his relationship with Lorelai. And I feel like the show set it up to be like, regardless of his failings prior to season 7, like, he was making an effort to try and, like, connect with her or make up for, I mean, not that he could make up for, like, all the missed time and everything, but the way that he treats her in this, which, is exactly what you said, Selena, like, he's basically, she doesn't fit into the plan that he suddenly has. Mm. For me, that feels out of character, and probably because I, like, come towards his character with a slightly more generous view than other people, just because, like, I think he's interesting, as I've said before. But yeah, I mean, in this season, he's an asshole. Like, he is the worst.
But, you know, I do agree with that, because I think that why, like, in the first couple of seasons, the way he treated Rory and Lorelai, and the way that he sort of got a little bit indignant every time someone was like, "Well, you know, you weren't you actually just left." Like, I do feel like in the last couple of seasons, he had taken steps to recover from that. And I actually thought the situation with Gigi and Sherry was very interesting, and gave him, you know, when they did the whole, like, Gigi was a brat, and, like, she legit, like, you know, kids like that, and you're like, oh my God, that's so real. I like that. And I thought that did show show growth. And I honestly think like one of the mistakes they made was giving him all that money, because it sort of felt like the moment he got all that money, all of the character progress until that point had fallen away, because suddenly everything was easy for him.
Yeah, that's true. I think maybe it does date back a little before this, but I definitely feel like watching season 7, there is a, like, at some point he's had a turning point, but we haven't seen it in the way that he regards Rory, and I find that to be a flaw of the writing.
And even Gigi, like, wanting to send her off with her mom, like, that was when I was saying, what is going on? Like, even Christopher that I have in my mind wouldn't do that.
I know, talk about a low blow. Okay, well, I mean, I feel like we could probably just do Christopher hype, but no one wants to listen to that. Okay, so, yeah, basically in summary, like, he's terrible, he's, like, him in Stars Hollow is just, like, actually, it's not even funny, it's, like, really cringe-y, it's hard to watch it, but I think the worst bit is obviously, like, when he doesn't come when Richard is in hospital,
right, because he's like having a hissy fit or sulking, whatever the hell.
So I mean, basically, like, he's a sort of, he's not redeemable at this point. No. I feel like after that, after those actions, I don't know if you guys agree or not, but you want to talk about, do you, would you like to talk about Luke, Selena?
Yes. I think both me and Pam want to talk about Luke.
Dying into this. So, yeah.
He came, even after everything, he showed up. Like, oh, Luke, he's the best.
And he paid for gas and, like, everything else Emily wanted. Premium.
Oh, that scene is amazing.
Yeah.
Him and Emily, I love that.
Yeah. Yes.
So did you, Selena, I want to know, like, when you were watching this, were you thinking, like, I mean, they're going to get back together at some point, or were you...
Like,
what did you think?
I absolutely think so. I think that, this season was a very drawn out way of giving, you know, of making an obstacle for Luke and Lorelai that was clearly going to get resolved. And I understand, like, Lorelai dropped a little bit in my estimation this season compared to how high she's been the other seasons. Not that I don't like her now, but her clearly having feelings for Luke, but sort of wanting to hold on to this Christopher thing. I mean, it was very apparent that that was a drawn out plot dictated thing. But I do like, I feel like it was always, I mean, obviously it was always going to be Luke and Lorelai in the end. And I think in a way, because of what happened with Christopher and Lorelai at the end of last season, it had to take a while before they could begin to make steps to get back together. And I actually found the way that they found their ways back to each other, helping each other out, being there for each other when they needed it, I thought that was very organic. And I really enjoyed that. Like, even if it hadn't ended up being romantic again, I still loved seeing their friendship sort of win out over the sad history.
What do you think about the plot line with April and the custody? Meanwhile, is everyone in this show just, like, the world's worst parent? Like,
I mean, Anna and Christopher clearly need to sit down and get together.
Like, I mean, we discussed last season that Anna is objectively the worst for being like, you can't introduce your child who I never told you about to your girlfriend who you're, like, gonna marry. But this was a step up.
I mean, talk about your, like, twisted, like, convoluted plot lines. Like, this was just completely ridiculous. But I do feel like if you're going to, like, look at Anna as, like, a real person in that situation, clearly, I mean, the fact that she had a child with Luke and hid this child's existence from him for all these years, that we should already know then that she's, like, borderline psychopathic, you know? Like, there's something there that isn't right. Like, she never wanted Luke to have any part. Like, she wanted this child for herself.
Well, yeah, or at minimum, like, she's already demonstrated that she doesn't want Luke to be involved.
Exactly, exactly.
So it's not surprising that she's, like, upping and going and is assuming, like, you know, things will just revert back to how they were.
Right. But I will say, like, the positive thing about this is that I feel like it allowed Luke and April, like, I really enjoy their relationship, and I totally agree with the people that say that it kind of came to substitute Rory in a sad way, like, in a way that like the Luke and Rory relationship kind of suffered for it. But I think it also just kind of goes a long way to prove to the viewers and the characters and stuff like that Luke is meant to be, like, his contrasting Luke and April with Christopher and Rory. I think the show kind of made a point to do that in the season. And I think they did that really well.
Yeah, and that letter, like, really...
Gina can never be.
Yeah, I mean, the letter really drives that point home, especially. And I think that Christopher is so... Like, he's upset by it not because... Like, he says it's because Lorelai is always going to love Luke, but it's not even that. It's just that he's finally, like, there it is in black and white, that he has not been the best father, and there's no reason why he couldn't have been involved, like, more involved. He just chose to pursue other things, and that's fine, but it's like, you can't fault Luke for being a good person and stepping in, but I think that it makes him uncomfortable knowing that, like, because you always want to be, like, you know, you're always going to be her dad, but or her father, but you're not her dad. And I think that that's what Luke kind of is in a roundabout way.
That's a great point. But let's talk about Rory while we're doing romance. Logan and Rory doing long distance.
My God. The attractive female college colleague that you put in there. Can I just... This is like... One of the things, and I cannot really fault a show for this, because this is one of the things where you realize that you just got a male showrunner. Rory, the first thing she does, first of all, it's like How I Met Your Mother totally stole this plotline, but it's the first thing you do when you see a successful female, like, woman, is not to throw her evil eyes and assume that she's, you know, hitting on your boyfriend. Like, what the hell? Like, that kind of, in a show that is actually very good about, like, solidarity and girl power, and, like, yeah, there's a lot of romance, but there's also friendships and family and stuff. Like, this just felt extremely out of tone for me. And the fact that Rory, like, of all people, would immediately, like, not even that she was suspicious of Logan, but she was suspicious of the girl, is just, to me, like, that is the anti girl solidarity thing, and it really made me angry.
Okay, yeah, no, I agree with you. I guess maybe it was meant to be, like, just showing how the long distance is affecting her and affecting their relationship. But yeah, I don't look. I basically, as I wrote in the doc, like, sort of arbitrary obstacles in their way. I don't dislike Logan. I don't find him that interesting, but. But,
no, he's like, fine. Like, even the problems that he had this season, I felt like it makes total sense for him. Like, I kind of, like, I'm not against Logan.
I don't like how he reacted to, like, I think in season 7 we kind of see the same way that we see, like, really the worst of Christopher. We see kind of the worst of Logan in the, especially in, like, the, I mean, I'm not even going to start on the public proposal, which is just the worst thing ever to happen. But like, the way that he responds to setbacks and things, it kind of, it shows, like, he's had no growth, because, like, that's he true. Immediately, like, reverts back to this, which I don't really think he is. Like, I think we have seen, at least in season 6, again, this is where there's kind of a split. I think we see that Logan has a lot of growth, really, and we spend a lot of time, like, a lot more time with him than we do with either Dean or Jess, for example. So we get the chance to really see him sort of learn from Rory and change, and then in this season it just seems like, oh no, like, I'm gonna party and I'm gonna do this and I'm sulking and I'm taking it out on you and, you know, all of this stuff, and I really don't like that. And I don't think, like that plot line.
At the end of the day, and obviously when we get into the revival, all of this has kind of been reset, because we have no idea what's happened, or I have no idea what's happened to any of these people. But I think at the end of the day, that's the one thing I feel about Rory and Logan, is that this is them. Like, this is their reality. This is what they're like. I feel like with Jess and even with Dean, like, there's so much potential for exploration there that just hasn't been, that we just haven't seen yet, and that's intriguing. With Logan, we've seen everything there is to see, and of course you can argue that that Amy Schumer and Palladino would have taken their relationship in a different direction if she had had control, but I'm just kind of like, he's kind of a, like, he's fine, but I'm just not excited. And you're totally right. Like, the way he regressed also just kind of, for me, that just kind of shows that that's all there is to the character now.
Yeah, I think it's a shame because I don't like that whole thing with with the company, and I don't like, you know, Rory's jealousy of his colleague and, like, all of that stuff. I just don't, I didn't particularly enjoy watching that. But the one bit that is interesting, and who wrote this about the Rory's article?
That was me.
Is that you, Pam?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, like, there's the whole plot line with Logan this this season, which is, like, I think if you're watching the show for the first time, sometimes you forget that, like, startups were, like, they were few and far between back in the day, so Logan was actually on, like, the cutting edge of this, because, like, one of my siblings came in, and they were like, oh, figures this guy would be, like, a startup, and I was like, well, this show was made in, like, the early 2000s, and they're like, oh, this makes more, you know what I mean, it makes more sense. But, so they have not a launch party, but a pre-launch party, a pre-pre-launch party, and, Rory goes and she meets this guy who's an editor for an online magazine, again, also very cutting edge, and he suggests that she write about the experience at this party, and she writes this piece called Let Them Drink Cosmos, and she basically just completely, like, talks down on all these people that are there, failing to realize that she was mean until Logan points it out, but also failing to realize that she feeds into this society that she deems kind of, you know, as, like, the lowest form of humanity almost. Like, you know, just...
Yeah, it's kind of like last season.
Yeah.
Yeah. When she moved into the pool house and thought she was all independent and cool, you know?
And this is the... This is honestly, like, the... Like, I relate to Rory a lot. In a lot of different ways, but this is one of the aspects of her personality that really bothers me. And I think it's, like, healthy to, like, not completely dote on your main characters. Like, you can love a character and still, like, find faults with them. And I think Rory's truest fault is that she doesn't realize how privileged she actually is. And it comes out in moments like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know what, though? I totally agree.
I will just say in this, because I totally agree with that. And I think it's a good, and again, another good thing the season did is kind of allow that part of her life to come to light and to be kind of vocalized. But I will say I felt a little bit of a solidarity with Rory in that moment. It's also not the first time she's written a completely scathing, dismissing piece about someone, by the way, because, like, you know, I'm not to mention the specifics, but I did recently write an article that pissed a lot of people off. And I feel like that's something when you get really passionate about a topic and you begin to get that moral sense of, I mean, we're talking a lot in society now about some people genuinely do think they are morally superior to others, and that's not always the best way to go about communicating with people. And I love that they gave this to Rory, and I love that it was kind of like, yeah, sometimes you kind of get carried away with your words and the points that you're trying to make, and you piss people off, and you kind of have to deal with that, and I thought that was a very interesting thing to do with her.
Yeah, and I think that that's fine. Like, that doesn't really bother me that she gets carried away. Like, she does that too with the ballet recital, like, when she first gets on the Yale Daily News.
Yeah.
But I think that what really bothers me about this is, like, Rory's, like, consistent inability to realize that, like, she may not have, like, Lorelai and her may have, like, had a very modest, like, life when she was younger, but at the end of the day, like, she's financially set. Like, she's really, if she wanted to do what Logan is doing and do her own startup, whatever, like, she could just go to Richard and Emily, ask for money. She could go to Christopher and ask for money, and she could blow it all, and they would, like, they wouldn't bat an eyelash. Right. You know what I mean? It's like her inability to just, like, realize that as much as she wants to believe she's not part of this world, like, she has more in common with these people than she thinks she does, purely because it's an option.
Yeah, and I think it goes exactly what you said. It goes beyond the financial. It's, like, about the social kind of cultural capital that she has as being a Gilmore. And I think, yeah, this is a consistent flaw that we see with her. Like, we see it when she's astounded that Logan's family, like, don't think she's good enough. Because, not because, like, she's smart or because she's, you know, great person or, like, is doing all these interesting things, but because she's a Gilmore. Like, that's the basis of her outrage. And and the reason that, like, the most off-putting thing that I find about Logan and Rory together is that it allows her to kind of, yeah, sort of return to that world that we've talked about before. Like, if Lorelai and Christopher had gotten married, this would be Rory's life. Like, this would be what she is like all the time. And I totally agree with you, Pam, that she consistently fails to recognize that and consistently fails to, like, address that. But versus Lorelai, who feels the same way, right, critiques that, but has also made an active decision to remove herself from that world. And, like, as an adult, does not benefit from that. Like, she does not, you know, we've seen, I mean, it's the entire point of the show, like, how hard it is for her to ask for help from her parents, even when it's for Rory. And versus Rory, like, goes and lives in the pool house, and Rory has, like, you know, does her, like, coming out party and all of this kind of stuff. And she seems pretty happy to, like, accept those things when it suits her. And then when she, but then in these kinds of situations, she kind of removes herself and takes that moral high ground that is very, like, problematic, considering exactly what you said, Pam, like, her kind of relationship and her, like, security that she has. So
even with Logan too, pointing that out
to her, like, at least he recognizes that.
I mean, it came from, like, he was obviously, like, going for the low blow, but he's right. Like, she, at the end of the day too, she's not, like, paying for rent. She's not struggling, you know, because if it's not her grandparents, right, or her dad, it's like, it's him, and it's really nice, but you should also, like, you should take a step back and, like, realize it. And right. I think that's what she fails to do.
Yeah, and that's why, I mean, yeah, like I said, that's really, Logan is fine, but I feel like Logan and Rory allows her to kind of be that person who, I don't like her as that person. And yeah, it's can be hard to watch, but anyway, we don't have to worry about it because they've broken up. So, spoiler alert. What do other people feel about public proposals? Because it's like my biggest pet peeve of things just in the world.
Yeah,
I think it's the worst thing you know, ever to happen.
I it's so funny because I feel like I'm very close to my grandparents too, and like my grandparents would love it if like my future whatever like got down on one knee in front of the whole family. I would cringe. I would hate this person. Because I feel
yeah, I'd be like, well, I can never marry you now because you thought that you could propose to me in public.
Right, you're the guy that's going to tell everybody we're pregnant, like, before I'm ready, you know what I mean?
Right.
Before I've even gotten the ultrasound. So, yeah, and, like, and for him to just do, like, he should also know better because even Emily and Richard are like, oh, he wouldn't dare, like, he wouldn't, you know,
yeah.
And he does it anyway. Like, it's completely, like, clearly also frowned upon in the circles he runs in terms of like society and stuff, and yet he still does it.
That's another moment like, that is like watch between your fingers because it's really hard to
it's
watch.
It's like a trap though, because it's like you're basically telling this person like you have to say yes, like there's no choice.
Right.
That's why exactly. I hate it. Like you can't Same. Even have a moment to think about it because then everybody's gonna read into it. Like if you didn't say yes, if you say yes too quickly, people are gonna say something. If you don't say yes quickly Same. Enough, people are gonna like hate you. And
right.
if you,
and
you can't say no.
To be clear, I would hate this just as much if it was Jess. Like, I just, public proposals are just, like, they just seem terrible to me.
But it also just, like, I think is just also a way of, I mean, first of all, obviously, like, they had their relationship. Also, the way that he handles it afterwards. This is the reasons for him wanting to get married were all the wrong reasons. Like, you don't get married. And that's the thing. People don't understand this. Like, you don't get married to keep your relationship going. Like if you want your relationship to keep going, you will keep it going, and you do not
right.
need the promise of a marriage, you know, like Rory
like
was saying, like
move.
They're so young. Yeah, like they're so young, like if they just keep it long distance. And then he was like, no, I don't want that. And it's like, no, but if you wanted to marry her, it wouldn't have to be right now. Like you just want to catch and keep, like that's just, anyway, people do that all the time in real life, whatever. But I think it's also just like you said, Christopher, like it's such an interesting parallel to Lorelai and Christopher. Obviously it wasn't like a perfect parallel, but it is sort of like saying, well, are you gonna hold on to this thing despite all the issues that are with it, or are you gonna go out and try to make a life for yourself? And I think, and that's one of the best things, you know, about Rory's story so far, is that she actually obviously chose correctly, quote unquote, because she chose to actually go out and have a life. And I think that was a very good moment for her.
I mean, she kind of doesn't have a choice because he's
well,
an ultimatum.
No, yeah.
So, like, bye. But, yeah, okay, what else does Rory have going on this season aside from, you know, long-distance
drama?
Well,
all of the, like, again, failures in her career. Like, I know that at the end it kind of is a last-minute reprieve she gets, but I continue to really enjoy her professional failures, because I think that's mm-hmm. very relatable, and I'm sure Pam agrees in this business. Like, you think that this is your break and it's not your break, and you're like, what the hell do I do now? And sometimes Obama calls and sometimes he doesn't. And
I'm still waiting for my Obama call.
Yeah.
But she has new friends this season. That's fun. Cause like,
oh, I love them.
Sometimes she only has like, Lane and Paris, but new friends.
Yay. So that's,
yeah.
I like for a while, I thought that the new friends were there to like trick her or they wanted something for her. So I was like very like hesitant to like them, but then I realized they didn't, and I actually thought they were really awesome, especially yeah. Jessica Jones.
Yeah, I was gonna say Jessica Jones. It's so funny watching this back, she's just so young, like it's nuts. What do you think about the Marty thing though? That's super weird.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. I was actually happy to see him again for the like, but then I realized how ridiculous it was, and like, I don't know, I'm really kind of tired of all the boys just wanting Rory, and that's it, you know.
Should we talk about the Gilmores, Emily and Richard? This is so sad.
This is so sad.
This whole plotline is so like on the nose now that it's really hard to watch it.
I know.
And Emily, I mean, like Emily's kind of, it feels weird to say I like this, but like I guess this is one of the plotlines that feels the best, like mm-hmm. it feels the best in this season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Emily and Richard remain remarkably consistent in season 7 compared to like some of the issues perhaps with some of the other characters. But mm-hmm. this is so sad, and Emily's like, you know, breakdown and her like speech and her trying to deal with, oh, like it's really hard to watch it now.
It's hard to watch it now because, yeah, you know, obviously, like, if anyone doesn't know, Edward Herman passed away. And I think, you know what, is one of the things that really stuck out to me, like not just the hospital plot line, but towards the end, like knowing now, obviously, that we are on the brink of the revival and that Richard is gone, but Emily is still there. It's very interesting to watch their final exchange where it's Richard who gets to say goodbye and to make his peace with Lorelai and Rory, and Emily who doesn't. Like, it feels like there's more story left to tell with Emily and Lorelai, and that's what we're going to get in the revival. But Richard kind of got to make his peace with them in a way. And that worked out very nicely, you know. I mean, sorry to be so crass, but I did.
No, it does. I mean, it's weird in hindsight, but yeah.
Also, there was that line that I can't remember. I think it was Emily. She's like, oh, you're not saying goodbye forever or something. And that was like even more.
So on the
nose. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I also kind of wonder, this is a little jumping the gun, but I wonder if like if Rory's there when he passes or if she's on the road. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Depending on like how the timeline works. But I have been thinking about that very, very much like these last few weeks specifically.
Definitely as we watch season 7, like this is probably definitely what has been at the forefront of my mind, is just thinking about how they're going to deal with this in the revival. And it's just really sad. Like, I, you know, Richard and Emily, I mean, obviously I love Emily, but Richard and Emily throughout this rewatch, I have just been thinking, like, I just love their relationship so much. I just think it's so interesting and so, like, it's so layered, and we get to see a lot of that. And in season 7, we really get to see, like, how dependent they are on each other and, like, how much love there is there. I mean, outside of their issues with, like, Lorelai and Rory and everything, just their relationship between the two of them, it's really beautiful at times, and it's like, it's just hard going, but yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that goes in the revival. I'm not a big crier in things, but I feel like if some moment in the revival is going to get me, like, it's going to be something to do with that plot line.
Oh my god, you guys, like, I know we haven't really gotten to it. I cried in the finale.
I blubber every time.
I mean, you guys, I mean, understand why you guys are where you would, Pam, and like watching the finale back in the day and having no idea. But for God's sakes, it's coming back for me in a week. Like, there's no reason for me to have this kind of yeah, emotional there reaction. Is,
because it's beautiful. It's a beautiful when moment.
When did you cry? Let's talk about Bon Voyage. Why not?
Well, first of all, I mean, that scene with Emily and Richard, and that also obviously had something to do with Edward Herman, but it also didn't. It was just because I thought it was really sad.
Yeah.
And there's knowing one that moment Lorelai... that
always gets me in Bon Voyage.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
No, you go ahead. I'm comparing.
Okay, I was just going to say, but it was just a general thing, like Lorelai and Rory, like, having to say goodbye so suddenly, and... when they're standing there with the laundry, and Rory's like, you're not even affected at all, and Lorelai goes, it's not yet, it's too soon, and I'm just like, it is too soon, you were gonna go to the theme parks,
you're gonna ride a roller coaster.
You know which part gets me though is oh my god, I'm choking up just thinking about it, when Rory tells Lorelai that she's given her everything she could.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, that gets me. I like just think, you guys just thinking about it. Yeah, it's like it's all in the delivery, because Lorelai's like trying to give her more, and then Roy's just like, "Mom, you've given me everything," and I'm like, "Stop!" But that's not even the part where I like. That's just when the tears start. Like, it's not even where it actually gets crazy.
It just felt so much like a goodbye. And even though it's coming back now, you kind of got the sense. And even though they didn't even know if it was coming back, you felt like the characters and the actors were like, this is the end, you know?
Yeah.
Especially with that montage scene where you're seeing everybody in the tent and stuff like that. This whole episode, like, the last, like, 15 minutes, I'm just crying the whole time. Like, in this episode. No, because it's so, like, it really just gets me, because, like, it's, like, first of all, like, Luke is doing, like, everything, and then he stays up all night, like, knitting. I'm just, like, a very, I don't cry over, like, natural disasters and stuff. I just cry during TV. Luke's, like, you know, sewing together all the tarps to make this happen. He stays up all night, like, you know, the tears start going, and then, like, they, like, drive up, and they realize that it's, like, you know, they've done this for them, and then I get, like, emotional, and then you see everybody in the town, and then by this point, it's just, like, waterworks, like, somebody's just turned on a faucet, and then it just goes from there. It's so bad. Every time I watch this episode,
that's
you guys,
amazing.
It's like the finale of Dawson's Creek, also always makes me cry.
But it was a beautiful, I really loved the finale. I thought it was a beautiful wrap-up, you know, they really, and considering all the obstacles they had, I felt like they did the show justice in that episode, at least.
Yeah, I think like there's definitely been talk from the cast members. I know Kelly Bishop and some of others who said that they didn't think it was a satisfying finale for the show. But I actually disagree, and I think that it is. I think that we kind of return to the. I mean, you know, there's the awkward thing at the start with like the journalists and all that, whatever, blah blah blah. But like, I think we kind of return to the roots of Gilmore Girls, like with the town kind of coming together to do this one last weird thing, and, you know, all of the... I really like that it was sort of based in Stars Hollow. I think a couple years ago now, maybe, there was like a piece on Hyperbole where people were saying their favorite episodes, and I picked Bon Voyage. Because, I just really like it. And the moment that gets me is when Rory's making her speech with after Taylor's weird, like, birthing metaphor. And she's trying to make a speech, and she's just, like, looks at Lorelai, and she's just like, to my mom, who's, like, everything I am. And I'm like, oh, so emotional. Like, that's always a bit. But and now, obviously, in retrospect, like, when she's saying her like goodbye to her parents, and I really think it's a solid finale. Like, I think it captures sort of the show really well, and you know, there's no like weird Christopher and weird Logan and all this other weird
they
stuff,
kind
like,
of
going
cut
on.
the fat a little bit, they cut the crap basically,
yeah.
They cut it into the heart of the show,
yeah. But I it really so is too. Everybody that like that should be there, you know, you don't feel like you miss those people, because this is the heart of the show.
It's the
core. Like, yeah, it is this town and these people and just the way that they've shaped these girls' lives, and it's really kind of beautiful. that it all comes back to that, because that's what like draws everybody in the first episode, even like this zany town, and the fact that they'll really do anything for each other. It's really nice. Like that sense of community. I also really love that scene where they go to Miss Patty's. She's like, sometimes I come in here and like lie in the dark so I can, my muse comes to visit, and everybody's like, hiding because they're trying to play. That's one of my favorite scenes.
Same. And they're like, I mean, that's weird, but yeah, that sounds like a thing you should do. Anyway, we'll come back later. Like, bye. it is great. And there's like a town hall scene. Oh, there's like everything that you need in a Gilmore Girls episode, I think. I think, you know, it does well. So I know that we're going to talk about Lane and Zach, but spoiler alert, we will get to them when we do our things we didn't like about this season. So let's just kind of finish up with the show in general. This season, like, Selena, you feel like you would be satisfied if this was the end?
Yeah, but I mean, it's hard to say, honestly, because I am also aware that the revival is right around the corner, so I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, we will get resolutions to all of those things that didn't get resolved. So I was happy they left some stuff. If I had been watching it back in the day, I would be like, where the hell is Jess? Why didn't we get a resolution to Emily and Lorelai? Like, why is Lorelai ever going to have that baby she's been talking about since season one? What is actually going to happen with Luke and Lorelai? Like, I feel like there's a lot of things that, for, in my opinion, the questions are good because we have the revival to answer them. But I will say, if this had been the end, like, I wouldn't. It was a beautiful episode, but I do feel like the show overall raises some questions that I would have liked to see answered. And of course, the biggest question of all is, Lane actually ever going to get to be a musician now? Which I know we haven't gotten there yet, but this is seriously the one thing I'm like.
Yeah, we will get to that, but
so maybe not if I'd watched it at the time, but from my very privileged position of watching it now, I will say yes, I liked it a lot.
Pam, what did you, can you remember back to when you first watched this? Were you like, oh, they need more? Or
I cried just as much back in the day. I will say I wasn't like up as much on like what was getting renewed and what wasn't, so I think it was more, if I remember correctly, it was more of a shock to realize that was the end. Because I watched it live, you know, like I remember watching it when it aired, and I just like, if they had announced that it was the last season, I was not aware because I just wasn't as involved in pop culture. So I think, but I think like over the years I've made peace with it, but I think like, because it is like purposefully left open-ended, I've always had questions about what happened and like what happened to Rory after, because even like, at that age, you think, like, oh, well, like, a campaign trail can't last forever, you know? So where does she go after this? Like, what happens to Luke and Lorelai? Like, what, you know, like, I think all of those questions have always swirled. And I think that that's what's lovely about the idea of the revival, is that we're going to get kind of like a window into what has happened since this has happened. So,
Yeah. I think, I'm trying to remember, when I watched Gilmore Girls, I did not watch it live. I watched it after it had finished, for sure. And I think I was, like, okay with it. Probably because it was prior to, like, the era when it was even a possibility for things to, like, come back in a revival. So you kind of had to accept it or be mad about it. I definitely had questions, and I think a lot of those questions had to do with the fact that not only was the show sort of cut short, but it was cut short without the original creator. So I always felt like, oh, I wonder what she would have done with it. Like, I wonder, you know, I mean, I think we can say now that we've watched it, Pam and I have discussed this, but like, I always thought that, for example, I always thought that the plan was that Jess would be Endgame and that he would come back in season 7, and like, that's why he kept coming back in season 6 here and there, and, you know, to kind of set that up. But then he just disappears because there's a different showrunner. And so little things like that, I was always like, I wonder what would have happened. But I never felt about Gilmore Girls the way that I feel about, say, like Pushing Daisies, for example, about shows that were like totally cut off, that there was no closure. Well, I think that Bon Voyage gives some semblance of of closure for a Gilmore Girls fan, even if it doesn't address, like, that's everything. Like, but I'm very pleased that it's coming back.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what I think that I took away from it, is that, look, it wasn't, you know, it didn't answer every question you ever had, but it is a hell of a lot better than it could have been, like, as far as finales go. I think we've all experienced our fair share of WTF finales that just left us like, what have I been watching for the past however many years?
Oh, and like, I think, 10 years, How I Met Your Mother? Yeah, pretty much.
But, I mean, and a lot, and I think what Gilmore Girls, and sort of, I know you brought up Buffy earlier, so I don't feel bad about doing it now, but I think it's a pretty good comparison to the Buffy finale, because the Buffy season 7 finale definitely wasn't perfect, and it definitely didn't answer everything, and it definitely didn't, you know, whatever, but what it did was it provided an emotional conclusion for the main characters. Like, it brought the focus back to the main characters, and it gave them an ending point when they were literally left staring out into the future. And I felt like Gilmore Girls kind of did the same thing. It brought us back to Lorelai and Rory and Emily and Richard to some extent, and it said, well, what's going to happen now? That we're going to leave that up for you to imagine. You know, Rory and Lorelai literally had their whole lives ahead of them, and that included, perhaps Rory was going to meet up with Jess again, perhaps Lorelai was going to marry Luke, perhaps all of these things. Lorelai and Emily and Richard would have their Friday night dinners. I was so happy about that, by the way.
Oh, that, like, bit gets me too. That bit gets me too.
But, like, so we had all of those things, and we also had the promise that there's another part of the story was just beginning, and I really appreciate finales that give us that as an audience, because you're almost given, like Harry Potter in a way, like, if you ignore the epilogue, like, you're given the gift of imagining their futures the way you want them to. And not that the revival cancels any of that out, but, you know, if it hadn't been a revival, that would have been okay.
Yeah, because it's not like, I think that's very salient. Like, there are finales that aren't finales. Like, there are shows where you just feel like nothing's resolved. Like,
yeah, or when they resolve too much.
Yeah, like, you know, like Firefly or Pushing Daisies or The Hour, my personal, like, left on a cliffhanger, this is the worst thing that's ever happened. And then there are finales that you just think exactly, like, what have I been doing? For example, Gossip Girl or How I Met Your Mother, where it's just completely, like, they wrap things up, but in a totally, like, just ridiculous way that makes you feel like the entire show is just sort of pointless. And I think Gilmore Girls sort of towed that line really well of resolving enough, and also, like you said, sort of leaving things open in a way that was, like, still satisfying. Like, it's still emotionally satisfying to watch it, and you could still, yeah, exactly, if there had been no revival, like we were okay. Gilmore Girls fans were maybe, like, there are things we would have liked to not have happened, and we would have really liked if Amy Sherman-Palladino had finished the show, but, like, we were doing all right.
And I think that's, you're right, though, because I think that's why everybody is always, like, Gilmore Girls has always been on the top of people's lists, like, even before the revival happened, of shows we would like to see come back for at least one more season. And I think it's just...
Yeah, or for a movie.
Yeah, for a movie, but it is comforting, like Selena was saying, just to know that these, especially with, like, real, like, because these characters are so real in a way, it's just comforting to know that they're out there, like, living their lives, even though we don't get to see them, because Gilmore Girls, at the end of the day, is a slice of life, and... Yeah. So that's nice.
That's true. All right. So let's do some favorites, because while we do this, we're going to get to some stuff we perhaps did not like about this. But let's start with stuff we did like. Favorite episodes. This is our last time of choosing favorite episodes. Are we going to choose a favorite episode of the revival of the four episodes?
We gotta.
Yeah, maybe we will do that. Maybe we'll do that. All right, Selena, why don't you start us off?
Okay, so I picked Secret Santa Stuff, which was the Christmas episode, and I thought this was... First of all, I feel like the episodes of the season kind of blended together, maybe also because I watched them so quickly. But this one really made me stop and think, and really sort of... It felt, not only because I loved the idea that Lorelai held off Christmas for Rory, also it kind of, in my family, like, Christmas and decorating and celebrating, it means a lot to us, so it was nice to see that sort of reflected, like, the show reflects so many areas of our lives. So I loved that. I loved, as I said earlier, I loved getting to see this was the epitome of the reality of Lorelai and Christopher's married life, you know, them sitting around at the dinner table. But at the same time, you had everything with Luke and Lorelai at the store and Luke and April. And I think in that scene, you know, which is obviously when Lorelai is inspired to write that letter for about Luke, he is talking about the gifts that he used to get Rory, and the look on Lorelai's face, like, even though she goes back home to Christopher and is still committed to him, like, I think it just slotted some things into place about how, you know, Luke has always been there and will always be there and will fight, like, again, in the opposite way of Christopher, he will fight to be with his child. And it's a little bit unfair because Christopher was 16, I know. But the opposition of that is just very, very interesting. And to see Lorelai have this slice of what could have been and what now is was good. And I just thought it was a very well executed, very cleverly done episode. And it was very, very enjoyable.
I think you're right about the episodes kind of blurring together. There are less sort of episodes.
It's also because nothing happens.
The only episode from season 7 that ever is on any list of like Gilmore Girls episodes to watch is Bon Voyage. None of the others ever are.
I would actually put Santa's Secret Stuff on there just because, again, I feel like, again, it shows what Lorelai always wanted from Christopher, or what their relationship was kind of kept circling back around, that fantasy of a quote-unquote perfect family. And it also just puts Luke and Lorelai's history with Rory into such sharp relief that and proves what Luke is truly like as a father and how much he cares. And I think that kind of stuff is very important.
Yeah, I agree. I like that one. I'm going to go with Will You Be My Lorelai Gilmore, because I love Lane and I am furious about what happens to Lane in the season. Yeah, but again, we will get to that. But also, as I've made no secret, I love like the weird stuff that this town does, and like having Lane in the bed and having the whole party and relocating it because Lane's on bed rest and you know, all of that, just all of that stuff. I just love all that stuff. That's all great. And there's like, you get a lot of Mrs. Kim, the MVP of Gilmore Girls.
Oh my god.
and you know, Lane and Zach, and I think and I really wish that, like, we got to see more of Lane and Rory's relationship. And I feel like their friendship kind of drops off in the later seasons. But, you know, we see in that episode that Rory's still, they're still so important to each other. And I also like the recognition in that of Lane saying, like, how important it was to her growing up to have someone like Lorelai around.
Yeah.
Especially when she felt like she couldn't really be herself in her own house. And so it's just like, it's just really sweet. And it's a, you know, it's a little episode. Like there's not heaps going on. And I'm excluding like the whole Logan storyline from this, cause I just refuse to even engage with that. But, I like all of the Stars Hollow stuff in that episode, and it was just fun. So I'm going to go with that. And Pam, what have you got?
I picked Lorelai. This happens like towards the end. And this is the episode where we see a lot of the fallout from Rory saying no to the Rhode Island reporter position and saying, and then just like realizing that she didn't get the New York Times internship that she wanted. And I really like moments like this when they are realistic about Rory's future and Rory's career path, because especially like, you know, like for Selena and I, like we study journalism and stuff, and so anytime you see journalism portrayed in pop culture and in entertainment and stuff like that, like they make it look so easy, like the path and stuff, and I just one of my favorite things about Gilmore Girls is that they're so realistic with the fact that even though Rory is like, she's editor and she's like really good at what she does, like it's still not easy for her to get to where she wants to be. And so I really love this episode, if only for the part in the middle where she starts talking about how She feels like every time she has to tell somebody she didn't get it, like it's like failure all over again. It's a disappointment. It's like so sobering and so relatable. And I also picked this episode because it's got my favorite Lorelai line in the entire series, which is a setback is really just a setup for a future accomplishment. Mm. And it's like, I think I find like so much comfort in that line and I have like, you know, anytime something doesn't go your way. And I think a lot of people find comfort in that as well. Even though it wasn't written by Amy Sherman Palladino, I just really, yeah, it's just one of the lines that like has always stuck out to me in the entire series. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Nicely done. Also, just as a heads up, I'm adding a bonus question, which is everyone's favorite season. So get ready to answer that in a second. Yep.
Way to put us on the spot.
Got it. But... Yeah, no, I already got mine. So inside.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So, but while we're doing that, let's do our favorite characters of staying with season 7. So, Selena, yours in capital letters. So,
yes. That. Yes. You guys, I have been neglecting this character for the entire watch, but I'm finally going to do it. Suki was my favorite character of the season. I'm so sorry if that's not how you say her name. Suki? Suki is my favorite character. Not Suki from another show. What I loved, and this has nothing to do with her pregnancy storyline, because as we will get to, that was ridiculous. But what I loved is that Suki was the voice of reason in this entire Lorelai and Christopher thing. I felt like not only did the show this season really spend a lot of time with Lorelai and Suki just being friends, which I really enjoyed. Like, they got to spend so much time just being friends, and I think that was really great. But Suki was also the one to be like, are you really sure that you want to do that? You know, are you, I'm not going to say anything, but I kind of am going to say something. And I do feel like she hasn't really had a lot to do in the show, but I see why people really like her. And I kind of wanted to sort of honor her here at the end, because I haven't done that at all so far. And obviously I still love Lorelai, so that's a kind of a given, but I think Suki really, I really love her. And I finally kind of understand. I mean, I understood before, but even more now, I understand why Suki's such a fan favorite character.
Yeah, that's so right. We have definitely neglected her, I think. But whatever. I mean, it's fine. We've covered it now. We mentioned it once. No, I love Suki, and you're so right. Like, she's kind of the secret, like, conscience of this. Mm. And also the moment at the end, again, in Bon Voyage, when she's like, Luke's like, so I thought we should like throw a surprise party, and Suki's like, oh, like, I think Lorelai would really like that, and he's like, no, for like Rory will like it, and she's like, yeah, Rory and Lorelai, and she's like, got this little yeah. smug smile.
She also does that thing where she like, what is it? She starts like chopping really loudly when Lorelai's trying to make plans with Christopher. Yeah. Like, she knows, like, she
yeah, she does. And her feuding with Michelle is also just wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, it's it's fun. Okay, Pam, you haven't picked one, but I'm putting you on the spot.
I can't decide. I think I'm gonna go with Luke. I think I'm gonna go with Luke for this one.
Yeah. Why? Tell us why.
Because it just, like, first of all, it breaks my heart that that Lorelai is so awful to him at the beginning. And you know, like, he, of course, like, he wasn't, like, a saint, but I still feel like it was very wrong of her to just, like, cheat on him like that. And then just, like, throw it in his face. Like, I don't know. Sometimes I feel like it's more cathartic for people to admit that they've done something wrong to, like, the person they've wronged. Like, it's more cathartic for the person that's done the wrong than for, like, the person that hears about it. So, I don't know. But I just really love, you know, like, the microscope that's put on his and Rory's relationship. I think it's really sweet. And I think we get a lot of that throughout the season. Like, it's not, like, a secret that he's basically been Rory's father figure throughout the whole thing. But I just really love, like, that we just see how much he cares, like, one last time in this season. So I'll give it to him. And I really like that him and Lorelai got together at the end, and we'll see what happens in the revival. But yeah,
that's a good pick. I mean, I same as Selena having Lorelai, I feel like it goes without saying that my favorite character is obviously Mrs. Kim, but I'm not gonna pick her again. So I'm gonna go with Emily.
What? You know, I'm shocked.
Yeah, I know, I know. I really love Emily in season 7. Like I said, I feel like her and Richard's characterization is probably the most consistent from the previous seasons. And I think, like, there's just a lot going on with Emily in this season. I feel like she has to confront a lot of her sort of ideas of what she thinks is right when it doesn't work out with Lorelai and Christopher. Like, we didn't talk about that when we were talking about their relationship, but, you know, she's also been the one who's been, like, pushing for this to happen, and that's, like, difficult for her to deal with as well, and obviously, like, you know, it shouldn't have anything to do with her, but it does, so that's it. But I also think, like, there are a lot of great Lorelai Emily moments in this, like, I Am Kayak, Hear Me Roar is a great episode for them. When, like, you know, she finally, as we see always with Emily, like, she's just incredibly emotionally, like, repressed, basically, and finds it really difficult to say these things. And we finally get to see a moment where she says to Lorelai, like, you've done this all by yourself. Like, you've done all of this, and I've always done this with a partner. And, you know, like, that's amazing that you've been able to do that, basically. And even though, like, towards the end, we see it's really Richard who sort of finds peace, I guess, with the whole, like, situation and everything. You know, we see Emily's fear as well that when Rory leaves, like, she's going to lose her daughter again. And I think that in that moment, we see that regardless of the way that she goes about it, like, Emily's actions do come from a place of love. And often she gets it very wrong. And often she does not go about things in, like, a way that is suitable to her daughter, and she kind of imposes her own beliefs on her and everything. But, like, you know, she's, like, trying to lend her money so she can build a spa so that she has an excuse to stay in her life. Like, that's so heartbreaking.
I really love that. She feels
like she has to do that. Mm. Yeah.
Because in some way, like, even though I'm always, as you know, like, I'm always sort of inclined to take Lorelai's side, because I feel like Emily especially is so dismissive of Lorelai and is so, like, is so convinced that they know best. But somewhere inside, like, that also comes from a fear of not being needed and not being wanted. And because they know, obviously, Lorelai very openly rejects Richard and Emily's world, I think Emily, you know, that puts her on the defensive always. And where Lorelai is sort of, she's quicker to sort of brush it off with jokes. Obviously, Emily's way of dealing with it is to really fight. Like, even when Lorelai isn't fighting, Emily's always fighting because she's so on edge all the time. And you, like, you totally understand where that's coming from.
Yeah, and I think it comes from a place of, like, you know, being rude, like, at when your child is 16, being told, like, you're not needed, and not even that, but you're not wanted. Like, I would rather live in this, like, shack or whatever. Like, we see all of that. So,
And obviously, again, the way she handles it sometimes, like, even, like, when she went to that wedding of Mia, my secret favorite character also.
Oh, yeah.
like, she just can't be the bigger person, basically.
Yeah.
But once you've sort of accepted that that's who Emily is, I think that's when you sort of begin to see, like, why she's feeling the way she is and all of that. Whereas sometimes I'm like, you know what, like, Emily, sit down. just too dramatic. Like, I'm not here for this. But no, I mean, I do understand. And I think it's a really very good character thing.
Yeah. Things we didn't love. I mean, Selena, I want to hear more what you have to say about these things. But I would just say, like, the Lane storyline and then the Suki storyline are probably my two least favorite things in the entire show. Just in general, but why don't you like them? Because I see you've also listed them.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, like, in a way, like, most of this has to do, like, kind of, I said, like, you can, the thing about this season that you can really feel is that it's a male showrunner who's trying to tackle a female-led show in a way that is just too on the nose. I kind of feel like it has been slightly recurring through the show too, so I don't want to put all the fault on. I mean, there's a whole other discussion about the kind of feminism presented in Gilmore Girls and the kind of ideals about what women should and should not do and should not want, and the whole like idealization of marriage being the ultimate end goal for all the female characters really bothers me in general. But that's like a thing that this season really took and ran with in the most ridiculous way. Like marriage and babies, like just keep, like it's ridiculous. It's like this is the only main thing that happens this year is people getting married or and or divorced and being pregnant. It just make that kind of stuff makes me so mad. And it like in Suki's case it was just more of a ridiculous. It turned out that Jackson didn't get the vasectomy after all. I had been lying to her all this time. I was like, wait, hold on a second. I'm pretty sure that's, as mad as I was about her trying to force him, this is like 10 times, a million times worse. But the real problem that I have is the Lane, not so much that she gets married or pregnant. Like I do take issue with the fact that she gets pregnant. Because there was a whole thing about them only having had sex once and her not liking it and not wanting it. And all that kind of came to, oh, well, you like have two babies now. So I guess that's like, you don't need to worry about that anymore. But it was the episode in which, and I'm sure you're going to bring this up as well. It was the episode in which Zach got selected to go on tour with that band. And Lane was all about going with him. Zach was all about her going with him. At one point he said, oh, well, maybe the singer's girlfriend can help with the babies, and already there I was like, what the hell? And then at the end of the day, like Lane deciding to stay behind and let him go pursue his dreams, and she'll be the wife at home, and the fact that there was no resolution to this, Lane basically just lay back and accepted her life. I think before the babies were born she had a comment to Rory where it's like, I had a taste of freedom and now it's gone. And then after she has the babies, it's almost like she's been brainwashed. Like, you know those movies where people like have their soul sucked out and they're like, when I see you next, I will want to kill you. And then, you know, like they become a vampire or something. It's like she's had her life spirit sucked out of her. And that's not necessarily what even being a parent is supposed to be, but it's like she's just this whole other person and her dream literally died when she had those babies, and they made no attempt to either hide that or to explain it or to justify it. It just happened, and it made me so angry.
Yeah, they act like it's a positive. That's the problem. Yeah. And I totally agree.
She made the right decision. Like, she was finally done with that nonsense and embracing her role as woman or whatever the hell. Right. I mean.
Yeah. Look, we all know that Lane deserved Dave Rogalski, but she couldn't have him. So she got Zach, and like, Zach's an okay replacement at
Zach
times.
Zach is fine.
And I liked their wedding. I think that was sweet. And then I just wanted them to like go and have a rock and roll lifestyle. And like, that was all that they needed in life. And then, yeah, the fact that she has sex once and is like, this is the worst thing ever. I hate this. And, you know, I mean, that's like a funny thing, but it's not funny when what follows is, yeah, she's pregnant and this is her life now. And Zach can like go and be cool and like do whatever. And Lane has to stay at home. Yeah. Lane deserved like so much better. Lane deserved everything. And I hate it so much. I think maybe that's why I picked the episode I picked, because it's kind of the last we see of like the real Lane before she gives birth. And then the Suki thing is just outrageously horrible. I mean, that's like some major consent issues going down there. And again, we're meant to be like, oh, haha, this is like a funny thing that Jackson did. But it's like, that would be the time to like divorce him and get out of there. That's like, that's horrific. So, yeah,
but I do kind of feel like it's so wrong and it's so infuriating, but it doesn't negate what these characters are and what the show has done with them so far.
Yeah, I agree, and I do think you are very spot on when you say like it just seems like a male showrunner kind of being like, oh, and what should we do with them? I know, like they can be pregnant.
Babies, and settle into their you know, the roles they're supposed to have. Like, I know that's not like the conversation that was had, but it feels like the end result.
Well, yeah, that's kind of implicit in like what's happening. Okay, so Pam, was there anything you didn't like about season 7?
I think that I already like, talked about this too much, but I don't care for Christopher, and I especially didn't care for him this season. So, which is too bad, because I didn't want to hate him. Like, I don't mind him in, like, the first couple of seasons of the show. He just gets progressively worse, and I can't get over it. I wish I could, yeah. But I just can't.
Yeah, I get it. Okay, so have you guys thought of your favorite season? Pam, you said you knew yours, so do you want to start?
I do. Mine is season 2.
Oh, same.
Okay.
Well, that was easy. I wonder why. No, I think season 2 is like a really, I think it's like kind of peak Gilmore.
Yeah, it is. And it has like a little bit of everything. I mean, you have like the crazy, what is it, a Tisket a Tasket, like some crazy town event that would only happen in Stars Hollow. And then Jess comes in and like kind of throws a wrench into everything. There's some great Lorelai Emily moments. It just has like a lot of everything.
Yeah,
I love it.
This is really going on like the Buffy vibe, because I feel like that's a similar thing people say about Buffy season 2. Selena, what do you think your favorite season is, just to totally put you on the spot?
Oh, well, you're gonna have to help me out, because like I was just looking at Wikipedia because I'm struggling to remember, but I feel like it's either season 4 or season 5, but I don't remember which of them I like best.
Okay.
But I know that I really enjoyed both of them. I feel like for me, 3 to 5 was really the stretch of the show I enjoyed the most, just because I feel like the first couple of seasons, like, they were a lot, like, maybe a little bit slower in pace. I'm sure if I went back and rewatched them now, I would probably feel a lot different, because I remember when I was watching season 1, I was thinking, well, is this like, I didn't know if it was gonna go anywhere, or if like that Luke and Lorelai thing just kept being dragged out. I was like, oh my god, Max again, like, what is happening? And then obviously all the Dean stuff kind of detracted a little bit from it too, but I did really enjoy them. I just think I felt like I really started to understand and get into the show in season 3, and then until season 5, and then I wasn't a huge fan of season 6. I don't know. I can't choose. I love them all. But maybe okay. Season 4. But I really right. don't remember what happened
season
in which
5
season.
Is the one where, like, she's getting with Dean and that whole thing is happening. So maybe that's not which one. Yeah. But
yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I hate that. No, yeah. It must have been season 4. It was the one where Luke and Lorelai, like, began to acknowledge their feelings but didn't really act on them yet. And when Lorelai... You know what I loved? Is that when Lorelai starts setting up her inn.
Okay.
It's, like,
yeah.
One of my favorite things.
Right.
And well, Suki and Michelle, and that friendship really comes together, or whatever you want to call it. And we see all that, because I love Lorelai's getting her life together, basically. I think that has nothing to do with romance. I think that's one of the best parts of the show.
Yay! We did it!
Yay!
I'm so excited. Okay, so we have talked about this a lot, but you guys also sent us some feedback, which we are going to go through now. We're going to read your feedback on season 7. And then we're going to do some predictions for the revival and kind of wrap up and announce our plans for the revival. So that's fun. Stick around for that. If you would like to get in touch with us like these people have, you can find us on Twitter at HyperbleHype, also at HyperbleHype on Instagram. You can send us an email. We are hype@hyperbull.com, or leave us a comment on this podcast post on hyperbull.com. So we start off with an email from Rachel. Selena, do you want to grab that one?
Yeah, Rachel Campbell says, "Hey ladies, love you and the podcast and have really enjoyed all the Gilmore Girls discussions. I just want to point out, if Merrima and Selena didn't know, not watching in America, that on Netflix the thumbnail image assigned to Gilmore Girls is Jess. I love it! Because Team Jess, duh. But I was a bit surprised it's not one of the actual girls, or just someone who has more screen time through the series. Maybe this is a hint at what's to come. Also, as I'm doing the rewatch along with you all, I can't believe you ladies never mentioned Leslie Odom Jr.'s cameo. Oh yeah, in your season 6 discussion. Hamilton and Gilmore Girls are two favorites of my life, and getting to see a young Aber in debate with Rory was amazing. Thanks again for everything you do, and can't wait for the revival." I'll just say, actually, on the Netflix thing, it was Jess's picture showed up for me as well, which was why I was like so surprised how little he was actually in the show. But now it's Rory.
Oh,
so they
that's
changed
funny.
It, actually.
Oh, mine's still Jess.
Oh, I haven't
interesting.
Been watching
for mine,
Netflix.
It's Rory now.
Huh. I have the DVDs. I'm hashtag old school.
There you go.
Which just have awkward, like, prom photos of them on the front, like, being, yeah. I mean, people thought that those Netflix revival photos were awkward, but guys, like, look at the old DVD covers, it's just as bad.
Yeah, you want to get the next one? Sure. Rebecca also wrote in and she says, "Hi, Hype Girls. I know season 7 isn't a lot of people's favorites, but I think it has some of the best character moments. The worst, Christopher, he's jealous of Luke for being everything to Lorelai and Rory that he was supposed to be and wasn't. Then instead of trying to be a better person, he just punishes Lorelai. I love to hate him. Anna hides April from Luke and treats him like the villain for wanting to get to know her. Uses him when it's convenient for her, and then thinks it's completely reasonable to try and cut him out of her life. Again, love to hate her." That's being nice if you love to hate Anna, because I just don't like her at all.
Yeah.
Okay, and then she finally says, Paris and her graduation game plan is one of my favorite Gilmore Girls moments. The way she takes care of Rory and shows how much she appreciates her in her own special way, whether it's attacking Lucy on her behalf, hiding her course books, or copying her notes, personal insight, retracted, of course. I just love Paris, Becky. We didn't talk about Paris a lot.
We didn't talk about Paris.
Yeah, but I do, one of my favorite scenes, though, is when she's like, she's getting all her acceptance letters, and she's making everybody open them.
Yeah.
And then she gets, like, progressively sadder because she's got too many options, which is such a Paris thing to do. But, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
I love that.
Yeah, okay. I did love her, like, breaking up with Doyle for her career, but then they kind of undid that because Doyle, like, unbroke up with her. So I was like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I just
and they're dancing. Oh my god, they're dancing in the background when Rory's on the phone and they're dancing something. It's like I laughed so much at that. It was like one of the funniest things.
They are so underrated. I feel like we should talk about Paris more. Paris and Mrs. Kim will start a spin-off show. Okay, we have an email here from Alexa who says, "Here's some of my semi-spoilery season 7 thoughts. Lane hating sex and believing her mother was right all along was the greatest thing ever. April's relationship with Luke ended up being really adorable and loving. Christopher not being there for Lorelai when Richard had his heart attack made me so mad I was in physical pain. Can we talk about Michelle's depression over losing one of his chows? Aww. Oh, yeah, poor Michelle. That was a funny episode, though. Even though I think most of us are glad Rory rejected Logan's proposal, that was an adorable proposal and a little life plan he came up with for them. He can't be her endgame, Jess, she says, but he grew a lot through the show. That I will always love you scene was brilliant, and I couldn't believe someone who wasn't Dan/Amy wrote that. And then she asked us for moments that made us cry, but I feel like we've already done them. And she has another question. If we could change one thing about the finale or how one of the storylines wrapped up, what would it be? I mean, we've kind of done this. I think for me, it's still the Jess thing, Soz. But do either of you have a thing quickly that you would change?
No, I mean, maybe a little bit of the Emily Lorelai situation, but I do kind of feel like that got as much as it should with them agreeing to Friday night dinner. Maybe a little bit more with Lorelai and her inn. I kind of felt like that story was kind of settled and then it just kind of kept going. But no, I mean, was Paris in the finale at all?
No.
Like, maybe she should have been there.
Yeah. That's true. Just
or basically, Lane needed. I mean, that's the one thing
I would change. Let's
be real.
Obviously,
Lane needed to like leave Zach at home with the babies and go be a drummer. Like that was so ridiculous that they didn't do it that way around.
Agreed. Pam, do you have any?
Not for the finale. I think that I've made peace with it. So
yeah.
I think I'm okay.
Fair. Alexa says, "A big thanks to you all for the awesome season recaps. It's been so fun rewatching along with you. Yay! We're glad you enjoyed." And we have a few tweets. Selena, you want to get those first ones?
Yeah, this is the Lady Ash who says, "I really enjoyed," or she didn't say that. She said, "I enjoyed the art student friends that Rory made. It was nice to see her branching out. They were fun too. Christopher still acts like his younger self, pushing in where he doesn't belong, like with Rory's friends. Grow up, man. This season felt longer than the others. We knew where the characters needed to go and we just wanted them to get there. I wish Lane had been the one asked on a tour." But there you go. That's exactly what I just said. "I feel for her and how quickly her life went back to putting others first. Rory's answer made a lot of sense. I could never have seen it the other way. She had already lost a lot of her spark with him. So sad the goodbye was so quick. So sad the goodbye was so quick. The party made me cry. And what Richard said, I tried to be as vague as possible just in case Selena had not watched it all yet. Hashtag looking out for a sister. Thanks for that.
I love that. So we have a tweet also from Meg here who says, a comment about season 7 in the early seasons, Amy Sherman-Palladino said if she ever suggested having the characters do karaoke, the other writers were allowed to hit her over the head with a cinder block. So kind of a summary of season 7.
Nice.
That's hilarious. I do want to say, like, a that lot of karaoke people like thing that was scene. Too much. I didn't like it.
I can't
it was,
watch it.
Way it's too on the nose.
Too like, cringe.
Yeah, it's... I actually looked away. I was like, yeah. I hate this.
I think it's so funny because like, unpopular opinion, I like it.
Oh, no. That's too much.
Man, you have nerves of steel.
Yeah, because, like, you know what? Because you can tell she's, like, it's supposed to be funny at the beginning, so I'm just... I don't know.
Yeah.
But like public embarrassment or like stuff like that on TV, it's just I can't.
But it's not really public embarrassment though. That's the whole thing. Like I don't see it as embarrassment. I don't that's why I just don't see it as like as embarrassing as it could be.
Okay. And you got some of you sent us your predictions for the revival, so we're gonna go through these and then give ours. Yay! Exciting. I don't know what they're gonna be, but anyway. So Nuria says, here are my very irrelevant predictions. Paris is leading a very successful company or being a trailblazer, doctor / lawyer / journalist / all of it. Mm. The show makes a reference to Supernatural as Supernatural did with Gilmore Girls. Perhaps Dean works a mysterious job that has him always on the road, wink, wink. And for our girls, Emily moves to Stars Hollow to be near her family after Richard's dead. I would love to see her interact daily with the townies.
I mean, we did see Kirk at the Friday night dinner in that
picture. That's right.
I thought you meant to be not looking at the pictures, but...
Oh, but yeah. Some of them pop up in my Facebook feed.
Yeah. Okay.
We have some predictions here from the Lady Ash, who says, a Gilmore Girls revival prediction, Doyle's a stay-at-home dad to his and Paris's two kids. This is totally something that happens, by the way. There's a Kurt Jr. taking up all the town's odd jobs and upsetting his father. Lane and Zach now run the music store. That would be so adorable. Mrs. Kim can even do the books for them. I think sometime in the year, Rory will become pregnant and it will be a boy. Gilmore Girls cycle complete.
I mean, it has to be a girl. Come on.
Like, not if they want to complete the cycle. Very interesting. Yeah. I could, you know what, if anybody's going to make their spouse stay at home while they go be boss lady, it's Paris.
100% Paris.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want Paris to come and just like life coach for Lane and be like, what are you doing? Leave these here. Doyle will look after your kids too. Let's go on the road.
Yeah, that would be amazing. So Alexa says, my revival predictions are more things that I really want to happen. Lorelai and Luke wedding, meeting Kirk's children. But for real, can you imagine? Obviously, that Rory and Jess's endgame, Emily and Lorelai to hug and say they love each other. That's basically all she wants in the world. I love this. I hope all of this happens.
Okay, so let's do some of our predictions. And where to start? Okay, Lorelai and Luke. Let's start here. So... as a reminder, Selena has not seen the trailer and is trying to stay, hasn't like seen all the photos and everything. So, Pam and I are going to not try and reference anything.
Can I ask one thing? How many years is this? Like how many years has passed?
I think it's kind of real timey, right?
I have always assumed that, yes. So I'm going to say like...
So they're trying to de-age them?
No.
No.
Like 10 years, I would say.
In that sense.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So 10 years,
it's like 9 years later or something. Because they make references to current day things.
Okay.
In their trailers. So...
Right. Okay, so Lorelai is like... It's almost 50 at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I was gonna say, like, again, Lorelai was always like, yeah, I kind of want another kid, like she's kind of been on that, but obviously she's probably, I mean, she could be pregnant, but I don't think she's gonna be pregnant.
She could have had a kid.
She could had a kid already. Yeah, that we'll see.
I think she's gonna be pregnant, honestly. Like, that's,
you think she's gonna be pregnant?
I think
like
she's
a miracle baby,
yeah,
or whatever they call it.
I mean, it's possible.
So you think they're still together, just to be clear?
Yeah.
we all think they're still together.
Oh yeah.
See,
yeah,
I think they're still together, but I wonder, like, if we're going to think about a marriage, that's why I'm asking how many years have passed, because if they've been together, like, we kind of have to assume that they kind of got together in the finale and they've been together for 10 years and are only now deciding to get married. Like, that would, they would have to have a really good reason for that.
Well, maybe it's just more like Lorelai's like, well, I've tried to go down the aisle so many times, just not working out. Let's just be together. Like, a lot of people are like that.
It could be. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. To confirm, she would apparently be 48. So
48. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not impossible, but maybe, I don't think, well, both Lorelai, if Lorelai and Rory are both pregnant, I'm really sorry. I'm going to be like a little bit disappointed because I think there's been too many babies on the show.
I mean, Luke and Lorelai could already be married, but I don't think they would show that off screen.
No. See, that's what I'm coming from.
But also, story. Like, if they had a wedding, that would be a good reason for, like, Jess and assorted people to turn up. Mm. So I kind of wouldn't be surprised if that was a plot point. But also, I would actually really like for them not to get married. I think it would be nice if Lorelai realized, like, actually, I don't need to get married. And the Christopher thing kind of put that to bed, both with Christopher and with that being like her end game.
I agree, and I do think this show in some way, like, again, it is a little bit like marriage is the supposed end goal for like everybody, and unfortunately this isn't really has anything to do with Lorelai, but just because they've already gotten Lane and Suki and like basically all the female characters except for Lorelai and Rory married, like, you know, you have to stop somewhere or else it's just too much, I think. And it's the same for babies. Like, there's been so many babies and some of the women need to not end up married and with babies, in my opinion. Because it's too much of a sim, like, it's fine, but you need some variety, especially when you have a show that is so, like, led by such strong female characters that really are, like, atypical of the quote-unquote norm.
Okay, so Pam thinks that she's pregnant. I think maybe we'll see a wedding spurred on by, like, maybe Richard's death or something. And Selena, you think that...
I think they might already have a kid. That's what my prediction is going to be. Right. I think that's kind of... It's probably not going to happen, but I just want it to be different because that's the way we avoid the pregnancy storyline.
Yeah.
But Lorelai does get to have that second kid that I kind of feel like she always wanted.
Okay, so let's jump to Rory's love life then. Who do we think she's going to end up with? I'm just going to say it. I kind of think she's going to end up with Logan, but I hate that. And I obviously want her to end up with Jess. But
that's interesting.
I just have this feeling that it's Logan and it makes me hate everything. What do you think?
I kind of, you know, it's funny because before going into this, I always thought that Jess was the main love interest. And I was so surprised first by how long Dean stuck around because I was expecting him to only be there for a few episodes. And then also, like, Logan ended up being her quote unquote endgame, even though he wasn't. Like, he ended up being the one that she stuck with and that she even told Jess, he's the one I love, like, he's the one I've chosen, whatever she said. And even though they broke up by the end, obviously the time for both of them to mature, I think you might be right. I think they might be setting up for an endgame. On the other hand, again, with the unexplored possibilities, we've already seen what Rory and Logan's future might be like in that episode in the beach house. And even though they could have both changed a lot since then, Jess is still the unexplored possibility. And Jess is still the one that, in my opinion, symbolizes the kind of life that, like, there's two possible lives for her. There's the traditional wife and there's the more, you know, the journalist that writes books and engages with culture. And I do feel like they represent two different sides of Rory. And so just for, I want to believe that it's Jess. I want to believe that Amy Sherman-Palladino kept bringing Jess back because she wanted to show that both of the characters needed to be ready for each other.
Yeah.
And I think that this would be a great way to show that they're finally both there.
Yeah, I think so. But I still think it's going to be Logan, even though I think in every objective sense, it makes way more sense for it to be Jess. Mm-hmm. Pam, what do you think? I mean, it could also be none.
I was going to say, I think my vote is for maybe none.
But is that what you think or is that what you hope?
No, I think that's what I think. Like, the more and more I think about it, I really think that That's like a very good possibility. That was like one of the great things,
and that was one of the great things about season 7 finale is that she ended up, you know, choosing her career above all else and above love. And again, showing different types of women. I think Rory, despite the fact that her entire storyline has been about boyfriends, like her career has kind of peaked in and out every once in a while, and that's what I'm like super excited about.
I also don't think that because Rory is at like a crossroads, she's having like this crisis, right, when everything opens. I feel like it would be a disservice to her character to have her fix everything and then like get a boy, you know? Or have her get a boy and then everything miraculously falls into place. I just feel like
She could be with someone already.
That's true. That's the thing.
It's hard to, I'm glad you made that point about how much time has passed, because it is hard for me to actually conceptualize this as something that's like 9 years later, because it feels like I'm thinking about it in my brain as like a couple years later, not a decade later. So,
but that's what I think, like, in terms of her, because again, I like to see her focusing on her career and stuff, but I kind of have a feeling that in this reboot, like, her career is already sorted. Like, she's already, I don't know, I haven't seen anything, obviously, but I feel like her career would already be sorted. She would already be super successful. So in that sense, like, whatever love stuff happened would be, like, icing on the cake, if you will. Like, it wouldn't be the main focus of her story or even her life.
Yeah. Okay, so what do you think about her career? Like, well, first of all, I guess with Lorelai, do we think Lorelai's still just, like, running the inn? I kind of assume that's what she's doing.
I think so, too.
Yeah, maybe she has a chain.
Maybe franchised.
She franchised, like Richard wanted her to.
Yeah. What about Rory's career? What do you think she's up to?
I think she's just, like, a super successful journalist now.
Yeah. Because the thing in the show is she always wanted to be, like, a foreign correspondent. But then she became, I guess, like, a political journalist. Yeah. So do you think, like, she's kind of stayed with the... I mean, I guess what I'm thinking is, like, why would she... Like, there has to be a reason for her to kind of come home.
Yeah. You know? I mean, she might come home for the funeral, or she might, like...
Or a wedding, yeah.
Mm, yeah. Yeah, she might just move there because she got a job there or something.
Yeah, true.
Or she can work from home now because of the internet.
Yeah. I'm actually so interested to see how they deal with, like, technology in the show. I know that's a weird thing to be, like, curious about, but...
Well, no, it's true, because look at that last, like, even in season 7, like, Lorelai is so against flat screen TVs. she likes her old rickety 80s television, you know? So,
And Lorelai's, like, in the early seasons, Lorelai's running around with her pager. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, yeah. And they still have a video store. Like, is the Stars Hollow video store out of, like, has it gone away? Like, what happened? Do they have Netflix? Is it, like, Netflixception? How do they watch their movies? This is what I need to know.
This is true. Okay, what about Emily, then? I kind of think that Emily might move to Stars Hollow or something.
I love that. That was one of the listener predictions, too. I love that. Yeah. And that's, again, sort of saying, while I don't think a character's happy ending has to involve, or a female character's happy ending has to involve marriage and babies, and I kind of raise my those things, the spikes things on my back that I don't have, at whatever that's called, at the concept that every single female character in this show would end up that way. But I do like the idea of Emily, that there being some kind of new baby, like if she moves closer to be with her family and there is like someone is pregnant and there's like a new start, you know, like deaths and beginnings, if you will.
I don't know if she's going to move to Stars Hollow. I think that like just knowing the person that she is, like I could see, unless she's really like out with the old and with the new, I could see her like wanting to stay in her home. I think that she needs to get her groove back, so to speak. So I don't know. It's kind of hard because like a lot of what she used to do revolved around Richard. So like you kind of have to wonder, like, is she still involved with the DAR? Does she still go to the country club? Like, does she still like, you know, like, is it worth it to have all that staff if it's just dinner for one, you know, like, but at the same time, she also doesn't really know how to do a lot on her own, like in terms of like housekeeping and things like that. Like she's not one to, you know, pick up a broom. So I'm kind of curious to see, but I don't know, like it's hard with Emily. It's hard for me to make predictions because she could really go either way.
Yeah.
And that is interesting. And a part of Emily's life, like they kind of did they did address this a couple of times in the show, how Emily, outside of Richard, it's really hard for her to find her own identity. So I like to think now, like, with all, like, how horrible it is that he's no longer there, I like to think that we'll see an Emily that kind of embraces her life. Like, she's older and she's alone now. What will she do with herself as being her own person? I like to think that something good will come of that.
Okay, Lost Ones. So which supporting character are we most excited? Like, what do we want to see happen with them? I just need Lane to be happy.
Yeah.
I really need Lane to, like, I don't know what, I mean, the kids are older now, so maybe she can finally, like, have her rock and roll dream, which I would just love. I just, Lane's story was so unsatisfying and really depressing, actually, the way that it finished. You know, I want her to still be with Zach and all of that, but I kind of just, I don't want Lane to be, like, running the music shop and sort of playing in the band on the side and, like, being a mom, and I want Lane to, like, go and be a rock star and, like, kicking ass. And obviously I want that for, like, Paris also, but I don't have any doubt that Paris will be doing that, so yeah, I need that for Lane. But Pam, what about you?
I think I'm most excited to see Paris, because she was the character with, like, the most options in terms of what she would be doing now. Like, there is, like you said, no doubt that she's going to be doing something amazing, but I'd like to see, like, what it is. And I'm curious to see if she's, like, settled down or if she's still as intense as she used to be. Like, how have, like, the 10 years treated her? With Lane, it's like, Lane is kind of hard, because I get, like, what you're saying, that, like, you want, like, so badly for her to, like, pursue her dreams, but at the same time, like, I'm also very aware of the fact that, like, people's dreams change. So, like, if she was, like, if you could tell that she was happy, like, being, like, a music teacher or something, like, maybe she does that, and, like, that's how she, like, does things on the side. Sorry, my phone started ringing, guys. If she's, like, I just, as long as she's satisfied, I think I'll be satisfied for her.
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
I don't want that to revolve around. I really just don't want that to revolve around her kids.
Family. Like, yeah, yeah.
Same. I want her to have some kind of professional something.
Yeah.
Like, something for her in her life.
Yeah. Because she always wanted to escape. Like, she wanted to be free. And that's, she had that line in season 7. It's like, now my life is over. And then her life literally ended. And it's not that I'm saying she can't. It's not like she can't find happiness, but it's she's given up the life she wanted. She's given up the freedom she wanted, and whatever happiness is, like, it's a compromise. And not that, like, we don't have to make compromises in life, but I think when we're talking about a show like this and a character like this, anything below, like, success as a musician, which is what she wanted, will feel like a disappointment to me.
Yeah,
but at the same time, it's like, it's almost unrealistic to say, like, oh, she's a successful musician now. You know, like, not that it's impossible, but it is, like, it's hard.
Why is that, though? Is that because, like, not like I was like, but is that because, like, she's a woman, for example?
No,
because
Zach
could go off. No, that's not what I'm saying. Oh. But, like, because Zach could go off being a musician while she stayed at home with the kids. What's his name? Gil? Found success with their band. His wife is at home with their kids. So I would like to see a reality in which Lane goes off and Zach stays at home with the kids. You know what I mean? Like,
but
that's kind of the reality.
I'm just saying, what do we want to see versus what will happen? Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're going to see a show where Lane is a rock star. I would love to see that, but I don't think we're going to see that, just because, I mean, in many ways, Gilmore Girls is not that progressive.
Mm.
And especially,
but I
like
to think it will be in this one regard.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
I would love that also, but like, Lane was sort of overlooked even when Amy Sherman-Palladino was showrunning. So I hope that they fix some of this stuff, but, like, I just don't want Lane to be, like, her mother. You know, I just don't want Lane to have that life she was so obviously trying to run away from. So this is more like a hope thing, and I can't say what I think it's going to be. I, like, can't make a prediction because I feel like they could very easily do a storyline, which basically is, like, exactly what Pam said, you know, well, dreams change,
oh,
and,
yeah,
like,
for sure,
this is what happens, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, they could write it in a very believable way, in a way that was, like, very consistent, and I would still find that not satisfying, if that makes sense.
I just want to, like, clarify that it's, like, I don't think, like, it's because it's, like, Lane that it's unrealistic. I just think that, like, if they're going to be, like, realistic in terms of like professions. Like Rory is struggling to be a journalist. Like it's 10 times harder to be like find fame as a musician. That's all I'm saying. So I don't care if she's a rock star, but I just want it to be like realistic, you know? Like, cause I have a friend who, she was always like a musician in high school, and she has a kid now, and she actually works in CGI and she does special effects. But on the side, she has her music project. So I feel like that would be for Lane, that would be satisfying for me to see. Like, as long as like her happiness makes sense, then that'll be fine. But that's all I'm saying. Like, and I just wanted to make that very clear that it's not because that she's like a woman that she can't be like, you know.
No, I don't think anyone. I think I about that. Selena, what about you? Do you have is there a particular character?
I mean, it's so dumb to say, but like, I am actually very curious what Jess is doing with his life now, because it was so intriguing when we saw him pop up last time he was on screen, and I like to imagine that, you know, he's had this really crazy life, and as well like Dean, because I have no idea what the hell Dean's like. I'm legitimately intrigued to see what the hell Dean's gonna be up to. But as for things that I'm most excited about, I know, just like a third wife.
He still works at Dosey's.
Yeah, but it was supporting characters. I mean, honestly, like all of them. Like, I don't even know who's gonna be back and who isn't. But people like, I mean, obviously Paris and Lane and Kirk and Michelle, if he's gonna be back, I'm like dying to see him. We know Suki's coming back for a little bit. I'm excited to see her, but just all of them. I love them.
Okay. That's kind of it for our predictions.
Well, unless
you want to do the last four words.
I do want to do it. Like, I don't know why you took it out. It's like,
I didn't take it out. It's right there.
It was somewhere else in the dog. Anyway, I do want to know, because that's like the one thing that me as a non-fan have always sort of picked up on, is that apparently the last four words were going to be super important. And I know there was a video that I didn't watch that gave a clue as to what they were going to be about. So I just want to lock down your predictions. What you think those last four words are
going to be. It's unsatisfying, but like, I genuinely can't say, because I have no idea. And actually, this is a thing that I try not to think about that much, because I'm worried that I will be like, find it unsatisfying if I have an idea. It was the same thing like with Harry Potter, when it was like, it ends with Scar, and everyone was like, oh, what's it going to be? And then she was like, it doesn't end with Scar. And I was like, oh, thank God, because like, we've all been talking about this for so long. There is no way that it could live up to any expectations. Like, there's no starting point to be like, this is what
funny
they are.
Because that's pretty much exactly why I think it's fun to just throw something out there, because like, we have literally no idea. And I don't think these last four words are going to be epic or game changing in any way, unless it's like, it's all a dream or whatever, like, which is always not
all a dream.
So wake up, Lorelai.
No.
If it's like something really stupid and like throwbacky, like Oi with the Poodles or something, cuts to black.
It's probably like, just literally be like Emily being like, actually, like, I do love you. And you then know Lorelai what? Just being like, oh, crying.
I literally just think it's going to be something like, we're the Gilmores or something. Maybe. We are the Gilmores.
As long as it's not something like, will you marry me? And then we never know the answer. I'll be cut fine. To black. Okay. I will be fine. That's only acceptable if they're going to come back next year and give us four more episodes.
Yeah. Maybe it'll
be... What if this ends on the cliffhanger, you guys?
Maybe Emily says to Lorelai, you were actually adopted. End of show.
There you go. No, I just think it's like something like Emily and Rory and Lorelai show up someplace and they're like checking in and they're like, we're the Gilmore girls, or like, we are the Gilmores, or something like that. Like, that would be like really dumb, but hilarious.
That would be terrible. So this is the thing. Every time I think about it, I just think it's like, basically going to be like the Harry Potter epilogue. And everyone's going to be like, oh, that was like so great. And I'm going to be like, no, what? So I think that's it. Are we done? Oh, we've talked out.
I think we're done.
It's a little bit of a...
We did it.
It's a little bit of a longer episode, but we kind of had to get in our predictions and everything.
We also have to explain what we're doing.
We're going to do that right now. we have very exciting plans. So we are watching the show when it comes out on November 25th. Pam and I are going to watch it all the way through because we have no self-control. And then we are going to record a fun special, a special special number two, like we did for the trailer, where we talk all about the whole thing for all of you other super fans or newbies, if you don't want to wait, if you want to binge and watch it all the way through. So we're going to record that and get that up as soon as possible. Right, Pam? We're going to, hopefully it won't just be a lot of yelling at each other.
Yeah, we're going to try, well, we've decided that we're probably going to have to do that sometime on the weekend, because I think we're going to need Friday to watch. Like, I think you're watching a little bit later in the afternoon, so we're going to tentatively say you can expect that sometime the week after Thanksgiving? What is that? The first week? Is that the first week of December already?
The last is like the 28th of November or something, that Monday.
Tentatively look for it sometime, like, in that last week of November, and hopefully we can promise to put that out.
It's going to be kind of like the trailer show. We're going to do, like, our immediate thoughts, and just so that you guys have something to listen to, and so we have someone to talk with, and you know, because obviously, like, there are a lot of people listening who are not going to want to wait to wait in between, but someone who is going to wait is Selena is taking one for the team again, and she's going to stay spoiler free again,
hashtag newbie forever.
So once we've recorded this special, we're still going to go back and we're going to do a special for We're planning to do one for every episode at this point. I guess it will kind of depend on how much plot there is in each, because, you know, we'll see. But the plan at the moment is definitely to do one for each episode of the Netflix revival. They probably won't be quite as long as these ones have been. And we'll in December.
I was going to say, continue to help me be spoiler-free on Twitter, you guys, because I'm going to, like, have a hard time now that people are reacting in real time, but I'm going to do my very best because it's fun. It's fun being a newbie, and I take it, like, it's. I hope you guys find it fun as well, but I'm really enjoying it, and I like that we have decided to keep that going for the revival specials as well, because I think it's kind of, like, a little bit more of a consistency and might be, I mean, yeah, let's maybe my predictions are going to be ridiculous, but we'll see.
That's like just a, I think that's a sort of more real way to do it. And so we hope you guys are on board with that. And I hope that you all appreciate that. That's very nice of Selena to do that. And thank her by, you know, not spoiling. And if you want to send us your thoughts on it, please do as soon as you've seen it. But please email them to us. We would really appreciate that, because then you have more space. You can send us as many emails as you want.
And also, Merriman and I won't accidentally get spoiled as well if you guys are watching like, right away, because we'll definitely, like, we won't be ready to receive your spoilers until Saturday. Let's just put it that way.
And, you know, we've gone this long. We don't want to get spoiled, like, right before it.
Yeah. You know, what I just also wanted to say, like, now that we're sort of nearing the end and the violins are playing us out, like, I think it's been so much fun to watch the show for the first time. Like, I'm sort of very, very glad that we decided to do this and that I got to be, like, a newbie on this, you know, to experience Gilmore Girls like this with you guys and just in time for the revival, because it was a show that I always wanted to watch, but I never really had an entry point into. And, like, just knowing that you guys obviously loved it so much and all of the listeners, that it had such a special place in your heart, like, just being able to experience that with you guys and having that journey through it. And I just, if it's not clear, like, I really genuinely do love the show, and I think it's so great that we can discuss it like this and take, like, a little bit of a critical stance to it sometimes, but it, like, obviously also it comes from a place of love. And, like, I'm so glad that I can now call myself a Gilmore Girls fan. And
You're officially a Gilmore girl.
You are.
I'm so happy. I'm in the club. You're in love. Yay.
This has been so much fun. I think Pam would agree. Like, this has just been, like, kind of a dream to have the time to go back and rewatch one of our favorite shows and talk about it with you and with all of the listeners who have, like, been watching along with us, and those who have been watching for the first time. It's just, like, so gratifying to have people also who, like you said, there are definitely bits of the show that we don't love, and that's mm-hmm. fine, but everyone's just so enthusiastic, and it's just so nice.
It is, yeah. Thank you guys for coming on this journey with us. It's like, I mean, we would have done it anyway, but like Marima said, it's just been so lovely to get to do this, like, not just with us, but like with all of you. So, because you guys make the show, really.
Exactly. And, you know, hopefully we'll get to do this kind of thing with other shows maybe in the future. We will see. But for now, that's it. And time to take a deep breath, guys, because it's almost here. It's less than a week as we're recording. The revival will be here, and, like, that will be the end.
Yeah. I'm so excited to hit play and, like, hear the Gilmore Girls theme and, like,
yeah, you
know, it's going to be magical.
Oh, it's going to be something, all right? Yeah. Oh, I guess we'll see. But until then, thank you everyone for listening, and we will be back, like I said, with Pam's and my spoiler-filled first thoughts, crazy reactions, yelling and crying episode. And then we'll be rolling out our episode specific kind of deep dives during December. And we'll be giving you more details on those as we record them, so you'll have plenty of time to send us your feedback, as always. But I guess we'll see you on the other side.
That's right.
Oh my God. This is momentous.
I know.
I like don't want to end.
Me neither. But we have to. We have to do it.
We have to do it. That's it. I'm ending it right now.
All right.
We're done.
Bye, guys.
That's it. Bye.
Goodbye. See you in Stars Hollow.